So many. I didn't. When you said the Carters, I was not thinking Sean Carter, Beyonce Knowles Carter. Funny enough, when this album dropped, I was working at Roc Nation. And it was like a surprise album. And I remember inside of those walls, the people at Roc Nation being like, yo, Hov and B about to drop. I'm like, what you mean? Like, an album. I'm like, today? They're like tomorrow, bro. I'm like, what? That was a good album. I used to listen to that album a lot. I forgot about that one. I used to work at Roc Nation and have a free Tidal account. That was one of the perks that came with that job. And then I kept Tidal. I honestly think Tidal is great. I think the sound quality is better. I think the hip-hop selection is better. Their playlists are better. Jay-Z stuff is on there. Now I got to go back, and I completely forgot. When you were like, yo, for the rejoin, and you said that, I completely forgot about like them two as a duo going by the Carters. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're familiar with the work of Beyonce?
Of course. Just like, when you're like, yo.
What about Sean Carter? You ever heard of him? Goes by Jay-Z?
Of course. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, bro. Play whatever you got. 888-808-1019.
Didn't want to overstep my boundaries.
No, you're good. I mean, I usually come through with a playlist, or not a playlist, but like a Google Drive folder of instrumentals for you guys. But like, I also give you guys the liberty, drop beats. You guys are producing the show. If you've got something that fits the moment, or you guys got something to, you know, break up the moment, whatever you see fit, you're the DJ, and I'll come back with that. Meet the Mets. You got to get the Let's Go Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. I'm waiting. I did a little trolling last night just because I was like, I was at the Fly Fish Club, and this guy was like, yo, I need Ohtani to get a hit here to cash my bet. Somebody else had like the over and some other. And then when Ohtani hit that homer, I'm just like, oh, I got to troll a little bit on Twitter, just a little bit. And it was just too easy. Because it was 8-0, and I was like, let me get a 8-piece McNugget, Grimace. Help me out with that, fam. But no, I'm not trolling tonight. The Yankees lost tonight. The Mets lost tonight. And tonight is a night where New York is like, well, it's not what we thought it was going to be. Spoiled Yankee fans thinking that there's brooms, and I didn't think there was brooms at all. I didn't think they were going to sweep this series. And Mets fans who thought, this is the matchup we wanted. Right? The same Mets fans that were telling Yankee fans, be careful what you wish for with the Subway Series. Be careful what you wish for, saying that you wanted the Dodgers over the Padres. I don't think you really wanted that smoke. It's looking like it's not been a fair fight. So back to the calls we go. 888-808-1019. I've got 50 minutes until the back music plays. Demetrius is in Rutherford on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, so I'm out here in Cleveland. I came out here to see to watch game three. Listen, I came with the idea, you know, I already had it in the back of my head. I'm like, listen, this is probably going to be a game that it's going to be, you know, a lot of grinding, you know, just kind of, I was expecting the loss kind of in a way. You know, I was like, all right. So after, you know, Schmidt was like not on, he was on and off, whatnot. And then he gave up the 2-run shot in the third, and then the Guardians kept us, you know, pretty much at bay for 5 innings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then, you know, I see, you know, Boone going right to the bullpen, whatnot, you know, use 7 pitchers, whatnot for the night. And then, you know, won the 3 runs in the eighth with the back-to-back shots. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I didn't expect it, to be honest with you, Keith. So,
me either. You know,
and then next thing you know, with Glaber with the insurance run in the ninth, I'm like, all right, we got a 2-run cushion. So, when Weavers comes in, he gives a double to Thomas. He had first base open, and this is what's really mind-boggling. Like, the manager for the Guardians, Vaught?
Steven Vaught, yep.
He respected kind of, yeah, he kind of, when he walked with Rizzo in the 10th with first base open, he respected Rizzo, although, he, you know, he's hurt, whatnot, but he respected the power. So when I see Vaught, you know, bring in Noel, I'm like, why didn't Boone just walk Noel for first, because you know we were going to throw some right down the wheelbarrow and face Jimenez. So next thing you know, I'm sitting around a bunch of Guardian fans, whatever, and I'll say, listen, you guys are going to tie this game right here. And this is what's going to – I said, we're going to end up losing this game. And that's what happened. And I'm like, the pitching today and the decision of not walking Noel, you know, Noel with the first base open was like – it was like just mind-boggling to me is like y'all were so aggravated because we had the chance, you know, to pretty much kind of have the opportunity of sweeping the series. But at the same time, I was like, you knew Cleveland was going to get one. So even if they get tomorrow or whatnot, they got to come back home anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing your story and painting the picture for fans listening of Progressive Field and you being in enemy territory and seeing it coming. I just was not shook of Jean-Kenzie Noel. I don't think anybody was. I don't think the Yankees were fearing him. Coming off the bench cold, pinch hitting. I don't think they were shook of him versus Luke Weaver at all. I don't think that they were looking at him saying, okay, this guy can... I just don't think they looked at him like that. I just don't think they looked at him like that. Maybe they should have. Hindsight is 20/20 though, and that's baseball. If he, like, you know, like, we can do this now, but if he gets him out, then it's like, yeah, you should have faced him. You should have challenged him. He had a moment. Good for him. Good for the Guardians. Good for them getting off the mat. That's baseball. It's a competition. These are two teams, right? Like they got one. After giving away the first two games, they finally found something. And in them finally finding something, they were flawed where they could have lost that game, but they knew. As a team, no. We like Yankee fans are crying about losing a game where Stanton and Judge go back-to-back and have that moment, which it took everything to have that moment. What do you think the Guardians fans are saying about their bullpen, Emmanuel Clase and these guys? What do you think? How do you think they feel the rest of the series? Clase's been shaky against the Yankees. How do you think that they feel with Gattis and Clase giving up runs? Right? Because all I heard was, oh, here comes Herron, Gattis, Clase, good night. And that's not how it went. That's why we watch. That's why you can gamble on this stuff. Nobody knows. 888-808-1019. And hindsight is 20/20, folks. Hindsight's 20/20. Danny is leaving Citi Field or left Citi Field or I don't know, might be home by now. Go for it, Danny.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, we're pretty close to home now, but, you know, I just had a couple things. I mean, I think Carlos Mendoza has gotten bailed out really hard, you know, all postseason long, and I think it's finally starting to show. I think his decision to move Nimmo where Alonso was hitting tonight was poor. I mean, his decision to go back to Budo and Maton after these guys haven't proven themselves in postseason is atrocious. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they think is going to happen when they get the same result every single time. But these guys just they don't understand what they're trying to play for here. And, you know, I mean, Jesse Winker, I went to the game in Philly where he hit that three-run bomb. And, I mean, the first at-bat he had, he hit a line drive shot right at a guy. Next at-bat, he comes up, hits a bomb.
Yeah.
You don't even give him a shot. You give him one at-bat, and then you pull him so that you could throw somebody else in the field. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's sloppy.
Yeah. I hear you, Danny, and I'll speak on it. A lot of times, and Mendoza has come out of the Yankees school of doing things, a lot of times they have scripts and plans, and I was just talking about this earlier with Oswaldo Cabrera, right? You as a fan see a guy like Jesse Winker and you think, how is that guy not in the lineup? He's got so many moments and he brings like a swag and a flair and an arrogance to him that we need to compete. But the computers look at matchups and look at history and look at all these numbers, and when they make the lineup, they say, no, we got to have J.D. Martinez in there. And not to throw J.D. Martinez under the bus. He had two walks. But, like, I hear you when you're saying it doesn't make sense because you're going back to home runs and moments, right? And then even with the bullpen, you have who you have. It's game four of the series. Jose Buto had been a weapon. And even though he's been shaky in the postseason, like, they can't just abandon him. Same thing with Maton. They go back to him hoping that he finds it, and he has it. And that last time was last time, and he'll be better this time. Didn't necessarily work out. I mean, their whole bullpen got tatted, and then Young was just out there to die. And it looks a lot worse than it is. All of these losses look a lot worse than they are because of the amount of runs that end up in the final score. But you have who you have. You have lanes for who you have. Your lineup is your lineup. And, you know, I mean, Mendoza, I'm not taking up for him. But, like, I think he's doing the best he can with what he has. And what you're seeing is the Dodgers and their manager, they're a better team. They're used to being here. It's easy for them. And it's a little bit more of a struggle for the Mets at the highest level of competition here, being one of two last teams standing in the National League. Landon is in the Bronx on the Fan in New York. What's up, Landon?
Hi, how's it going, Keith?
Good, good.
Thank you for taking the call. So I was at Citi Field tonight, and the Mets just looked flat. Right from that first at-bat to Ohtani, took the stadium right out of it. You know, Vientos comes up, hits a home run, great. But then we go into that inning, get runners in scoring position, come up empty again. I mean, I just feel like this whole series we've been coming up empty. You know, we get guys in scoring position, Mets just shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, guys who came up during that stretch in the regular season just aren't coming up anymore. And, you know, honestly, it just feels like kind of the beginning of the season all over again. I mean,
no.
You said it before. We put out Danny Young in there like a sacrificial lamb. I just don't know what Mendoza's doing.
Yeah, like thanks for the call, Landon. Like at that point of the game, when you have like opportunity, when you get bases loaded and you can't do anything, what else do you expect him to do? Go to Edwin Diaz? Like there's nothing else to do but just like lay down. You can either get down or lay down. Like at that point, you're laying down. You're getting down. And you're hoping that you come back and you fight in this game and force a game six in LA. 888-808-1019. The Dodgers are clearly the better team, and no one's surprised, right? Like, it's not that shocking. It's not that shocking. The Dodgers, they have all the names. They have the payroll. They have the pedigree, experience, the fan base, whatever. The Mets have had to get here through, like, the grace of the baseball gods. It's not like the beginning of the season. The beginning of the season, you were playing the Brewers. The beginning of the season, you weren't playing teams that were just that much better than you on paper or in reality. And the Mets were just underperforming. Now they're underperforming against a team that is better. And I think a team that's just better suited for the moment because they've been there before. There's too many guys on this team that they have MVPs. They have guys with World Series rings. They have guys that have been there with the Dodgers before. For the Mets right now, you have Lindor trying to lead the way as a guy that's been to a World Series. A couple other guys mixed in like J.D. Martinez, but they've run out of gas. I remember talking about the Mets with Scherzer and Verlander and making an analogy of them as being like old cars with a lot of miles on them. And eventually, those cars are going to break down. Well, the Mets were gassed up. And eventually, you're going to run out of gas. It took a lot of steam and energy and power. It took a lot of stepping on the gas and accelerating to get through the doubleheader in Atlanta, to get through the wild card round against the Brewers, to get through the divisional round against the Phillies. Now, vroom, you make it all the way to the championship series. Here's the Dodgers parked there, and they're like, oh, we're here every year. We planned on this. This isn't a shock to us. This isn't magical to us. We spent $1 billion in the offseason. We've been gassed up, fueled up. We've got plenty of gas in the tank. We're trying to win the World Series. And if you're standing in the way, you're not really standing in the way. We'll put up 30 runs on you in four games. Mike is in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Mike, you're on the Fan next.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking the call. Love your show. I listen to you almost every night on the way home from work, on the way home from the Mets game tonight. The first thing I got to hit is the people calling in saying when Ohtani hit that home run that it sucked the life out of the building. They're so wrong about that. Vientos hitting the home run in the bottom.
Yeah, he matched it.
The,
it-
the place couldn't have been more hype than when Vientos, you know, hit the equalizer. So I just have to say that, like, so wrong about that.
I wasn't there, and I was watching the Yankee game and just keeping up with the score. But the video of like Vientos, Swaggy V, it looked like, okay, if Ohtani took the air out of the building, a solo shot in the first inning, Vientos picked it right back up. It's a 1-1 game. It's a new game.
Yeah, it was more, the atmosphere was better after the 1-1 than it was at 0-0. But the other part that I want to talk about is it's like the Yankees kind of like enjoying the Mets losing tonight somehow. I just can't really relate to that. It's like the Yankees lost tonight. They're in the same position that the Dodgers were in before tonight, and it could go the other way. It's not an easy ride to the World Series. I mean, obviously in a better spot than the Mets, but it's been that way this whole year. Like, the Yankees' shortcomings, it's like they want to feel better about how the Mets...
Yeah, I was about to say, I can speak to it. It's coping. It's coping with, you know, a couple hours ago, Yankee fans thought they were about to go up 3-0. I can't tell you how many DMs, text messages, and calls I got after the back-to-back home runs, and I'm telling people, chill. The game is not over.
Right.
So the way that Yankee fans are coping with that is saying, well, the Mets lost. They're done. They got pummeled. Ha, ha, ha. They're not meeting us in the World Series. And it's like, yo,
But if we're done tomorrow, then you don't have us anymore to laugh at. Like,
and if the Yankees lose,
yourselves.
If Luis Gil gets rocked like he did by the Pirates his last time out 20 days ago, and the Yankees lose, then we've got a new 3-game series, and it'll be tied.
And it could be against those Dodgers that we're all talking about tonight.
Well, no, because then it's still against the Guardians. Thanks for the call, Mike. What I'm with you because I just went through my own history and watching games and the NBA and the Warriors. You know, it's not over till it's over. The Red Sox. I remember being younger in high school and the curse and thinking that the Red Sox would never win. Like, to actually, as a teenager that couldn't even drive yet, like, I think back, it was 20 years ago, but to think back, I just remember being stunned. I remember I got stone cold stunned by the fact that the Yankees actually lost 4 in a row, actually let them go on to win the World Series. It actually made me like baseball less. I know some of y'all can relate to that. It actually made me be like, man, it's over. This team's run, it's over. You know? After dealing with 2001, after dealing with 2003, 2004 happens, and as a young Yankee fan, you're like, what you experienced in like elementary school, middle school, you start to get a little bit older, and you're like, nah, bruh, like, so that's why I have some caution. I do feel like the Yankees are going to the World Series. I don't think that they're going to lose. But I just know that it is not how you think. Like, a lot of people were signing it up as a sweep and a cakewalk. And as soon as you start doing that, no, those guys over there play too. So for the Yankee fans that are coping by drinking Met fans' tears or finding solace in it, like, you can do that. But just understand, we got business to handle too, right? What goes around comes around. And for all of us touching the money here on the fan in the last week, like, I remember getting on Friday saying, all right, I can't avoid it. I was trying to tell you, don't call my show talking about a Subway Series. It's a fool's errand. It's nonsense. There's no reason. Like, it is so irresponsible of us as fans to overlook opponents with our own histories and what we've seen happen. Let's not do that. This microphone is powerful. These conversations are heard by all. Let's not just assume that it's a Subway Series. Why do we have to do that? Now, here we are where the Yankees blow a game that should have put them up 3-0, a game away from the World Series. Pump your brakes on that. And the Mets are fighting for their lives and are trying to just believe and conjure up some type of magical gimmick to force a game six? How do we end up here so fast thinking that, oh, the Dodgers are the matchup we want. They don't have the pitching. They have a hell of a lineup. They got more than enough pitching. Oh, the Guardians don't belong on the same field as the Yankees. The AL Central is a joke. They can't play with us. They gave the games away. They're just going to give up their first game in their building in front of their fans. No, those guys want to be able to walk around. Those guys want to be able to exist.
Nope.
Jack out in California, you're on the Fan in New York. Hello.
What's good, Keith? How we doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know, still the LA fans are dancing on the Mets graves right now. They're thinking it is over before it started.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Because, I mean, the Dodgers have a tortured fan base as well. I mean, they did get there and win the 2020 60-game series, but they've fallen short a bunch of times in the National League Championship Series. So for them to be where they are up 3-1 against the Mets, it's a party out there. California knows how to party.
You definitely know how to party, for sure. But it is definitely they're definitely waiting for one more. I'll stop talking about the Dodgers. Probably one of the best Yankee games. I don't care about wins or losses ever. That was hands down one of the best games I've ever seen in my life.
Made you feel something good,
dude. I was Twitch streaming the entire thing. I was sweating after that Giancarlo home run. It was the best thing ever. The only thing I'll say about this game is that it's the only win, only type of win I didn't want the Guardians to have. This gives them a little bit of gusto.
Life. Yep, gives them life.
This gives them that
belief.
Yep, hope. Gives them two swings, three swings. We're back in this game. That's usually how the Yankees feel about things. So I'm still confident. We still have our aces going. Gil is ready to go. Excuse me, Heel is ready to go. And I think we got this. But, you know, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. Or as Lugie said earlier, it's going to be a gentleman's mop. And that's what I got for you. Have a good night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Jack. Yeah, 888-808-1019. Myself, my boy Jake from the Bronx Zoo, the Bleacher Creatures, the Terrorist Squad, and every Yankee fan that can hear my voice that does not want to watch Game 4 alone, pull up to Billy's. You know where it is, right outside Yankee Stadium, 161st and River. It's not going to be a game day vibe, so it won't be a bunch of spilled beers on the ground and shoulder to shoulder, back to back, you know, long line. It'll be just a watch party. We're going to go live from there throughout the game. And just like watch the Yankees bounce back and go up 3-1 in this series with Luis Gil on the mound, who we haven't seen in a while. And fingers crossed that, you know, he's got that energy that he had in the beginning of the year where, you know, he broke El Duque's record and he struck out 14 against the White Sox. Like, bring out that version of Luis Gil for the postseason and bring out the bats against Gavin Williams. And we'll have a hell of a Friday night in the boogie down Bronx. I think they're going to open up the place around 6:37, and then we got an hour to pregame, throw back some shots, some beers, get our social media content together, and watch the Yankees go up 3-1. I really do feel like they can win the next two games, right? Let me go back to my boy Joe's McFly's tweet, because Joe's kicks it with the John Boy nerds, and I guarantee you one of the stat heads were like, yo, listen to this. Joe's texted me. He said, in 2017, game two, Cleveland wins it in a walk-off, and then the Yankees win the next three. In 2022, game three, Cleveland wins it in a walk-off, the Yankees win the next two. So now here we are in 2024, game three, Cleveland walks it off. I think the Yankees can win back-to-back, come back to New York, chill, and then a week from today, potentially be in the World Series against the Dodgers or the Mets. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. Call the line. I'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, quickly here. I'm running out of time. I've got 20 minutes left. I've got 6 calls and some more people calling, I'm sure. And I'm not on tomorrow. It's going to be a later game. I'm not sure who's on a schedule. Maybe Hoff coming on right at like 12 and taking you to 5. So 888-808-1019. I'll take all these calls that I can now. And if you want to talk to me, pull up on me at Billy's for game 4, the Bronx Zoo, myself in there with the Bleacher Creatures Terror Squad. And we'll be watching the Yankees hopefully go out and defeat the Guardians. Robbie in Rockland on the Fan in New York.
What's up? Thank you for taking my call. First time on the show.
Hey.
So I just want to say how Mets fans are always saying how Yankee fans like root for them to lose and stuff. And I personally don't. And if I do, it's because Mets fans are always saying that type of stuff. But that's another story.
Nah, I heard you, though. They did say a lot of stuff. They did say a lot of stuff, you know, before they ended up in this 3-1 position. Now, like,
exactly. Like, that's what it is. And, like, I don't hate the Mets, but that's the type of things that make
me. We swept y'all 4-0. Y'all don't want the smoke with us in the World Series.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've been saying.
The Guardians, tonight, the Royals, are you kidding me? You guys have the easiest path to the World Series in history. At least we got to face a real team.
Yeah, and then if we get to the World Series, we'll see what happens when we face a real team. But tonight, Yankee fans, I'm a huge Yankee fan. They overreacted. We lost. We should have won. It was definitely not ideal, but sorry.
You're good. You're there. Go on.
Judge is finding his swing. Stanton does what he does. Glaber's coming together. Like, he's been looking good all playoffs. We're coming together. We're looking good. We
Volpe, lost. Verdugo.
Verdugo. I love Verdugo, bro. I loved him all year. He wasn't good all year, but he's looking good now. Obviously, Soto. But we're looking good. Wells is the only one underperforming compared to what he was in the regular season. Judge, but he's coming together now.
Jazz.
We're looking good.
Need Jazz to do a little more.
And Jazz, too. Jazz was a huge spark during the season. We needed that, and we need that right now. But Judge coming together right now is exactly what we need. We're coming together, and it's just crazy how, like, everyone. Tonight, I was at a bar watching the game, and when we lost, everyone acted like we were eliminated. I'm like,
thanks for the call, Robbie. You know what it is, and I know because I talked to so many Yankee fans. I am a Yankee fan, and I felt the moment. Like, I jumped off my couch. I was airborne. We put so much weight on Judge. We talk about him as the greatest player of all time. We know how good he is. And when he comes through against Emmanuel Clase to tie the game with a 2-run shot and actually has his clutch postseason moment, the biggest hit of his career in the postseason, and they don't win, is devastating. Debbie is in Delaware. Debbie, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
Good, I'm just trying to take you off the speaker. So I'm on my way home from the City Field. I have a couple of points I wanted to make. Going back to Mendoza, without Mendoza, we're not here, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's Monday morning quarterback, say whatever you want. I disagree with him taking Pluto out. I don't know who that fellow was saying that Pluto didn't do the job. He did very well tonight. I think he should win another inning. If anybody would have said that we were playing October baseball, you know, against the Dodgers back in June, it was so crazy. So here we are. I feel like what two pieces away, really, from competing with the big team, you know, the slugger, big-time slugger, and a big marquee pitcher. So, pitchers.
Thanks for the call, Debbie. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. If you said you were taking me off speaker. I don't know if you might have been on speaker in your car. It was just very hollow. But I hear you in the topic that you were trying to hit on and the point you were trying to make. They need 2 more pieces. A slugger. Pete Alonso's supposed to be your slugger. And you have other guys that hit for power. Multiple guys. Lindor, Vientos, JD Martinez is supposed to be a guy like that. JD, just dingers. And then also a starting pitcher that can be an ace and go deep in games. I mean, Manaea became that, but you definitely need another guy. Quintana's a little up there in age. He's not what it, you know, he's not it. Severino's not it. And maybe they go about, you know, seeing in the offseason if they can get those two pieces. Sebastian and Queens on the fan. Go for it, Bash.
Hey, what's going on? Just wanted to say thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I wanted to talk about was Mendoza. I just really think he's been mismanaging these games. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous, the fact that Alvarez is still in. I mean, I know he's good behind the plate, but this guy cannot hit a beach ball to save his life. I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous. I mean, give Torrens a shot.
He's sticking with the kid, and I think it's because of what he is behind the plate against the Dodgers lineup.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we need hits, though. Like, we need to get the bats going. Also, leaving Nimmo, and I mean, this guy can barely move out there. Same thing with JD. He's just like a liability on the base path. And also, he can't get a hit to save his life either. I mean, we got other guys. We got to get someone else a shot. We need to get going. Like, there's not a lot of time left.
So what do you suggest? Who do you suggest?
I mean,
Luis Torrens to catch?
I say get Torrens behind the dish. Yeah, give him a shot. I mean, he wasn't half bad in the regular season.
Yeah, but it's not the regular season. It's the postseason. I don't know if he's really coming through.
Well, Alvarez isn't coming through either, so yeah. You might as well give this guy a shot, right?
He's the future of your team. Like, he's going to be a future postseason performer. He's got to go through it. He's got to take his lumps now.
For sure. I agree. I mean, but okay, even scratch that then, right? What about leaving Nimmo in? I mean, that fly ball to the outfield. I mean, if he was fully healthy, you could have cut that off. If you had someone like Bader out there or even Tyrone Taylor out there, I mean, would not have scored in that position. I mean, I just don't know.
Nimmo is a left-handed bat, and he's also a big money guy and a core member of the team. So
yeah, but he's hurt, though.
Yeah, I understand that,
too. He's out there limping around, you know?
Yeah, I understand that, too. But if he says, I can go, he wants to go, he's going to play. Thanks for the call, Sebastian. Nimmo was in tears that they made it to the NLCS. They're not going to pull him. If he says, I'm good, you know, I'm ready to play, I'm going to rot. Like, they're just not, man. I don't know what to tell y'all. Paul is down in Memphis, Tennessee on the fan in New York. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Keith. Hey, listen, there's one big thing that I wanted to make sure that came through in here is what happens if the Mets turn around and they actually win and become the National League champions?
Hell freezes over.
Well, you have that too, right? But... Are Yankees actually just like brush tonight off and they actually make it through? What is your prediction for a Subway Series?
Thanks for the call, Paul. I don't think that's realistic now. I didn't think it was realistic last week. I've been on record saying I don't want one, don't need one, and I don't think I can give you a prediction for a Subway Series when the Dodgers that just put up 30 runs in four games, they are one win away from going back to the World Series for the first time since they won the Mickey Mouse World Series in 2020. I just don't think we got the time for that tonight. John and Masbeth on the fan. What's up, John?
Keith, how's it going, man?
It's going.
Yeah, it's going. Yeah. It's just the Yankee team is going, too. The Yankee team is going dumb enough, you know?
It's part of it. You need to be on a roller coaster. It can't just be a straight rocket ship to the World Series. You got to drop down a bit.
The thing is this. They cannot hit with runners in scoring position, and they need to start hitting the runners in scoring position before it catches up to them. The Dodgers, I just sat down and did the math. You ready for this?
Sure.
The Dodgers are hitting .375 this year in the playoffs and running in a scoring position. The Mets are hitting .247. Cleveland's hitting .200. The Royals, the Royals against us hit .272 running in scoring position. Do you know what the Yankees are hitting in the running in scoring position?
Under .200?
.150. We're hitting 150 with runners in scoring position.
We're the Bronx Bombers, baby. That's, you got to hit homers or nothing, like, man. If we don't get a Stanton bomb, if we don't get a Soto bomb, if we don't get a Glaber bomb, Judge bomb, we don't have a shot.
It's going to catch up. It's going to catch up to this team, and it's going to bite them in the ass, and they're going to say, where the hell did we go wrong? And that's exactly where you went wrong.
It is insane.
In the pickle.
How collectively they're all
the pickle.
Dumb as rocks on the base pass. It doesn't matter who it is. Any of them can get thrown out at first, second, third. It's crazy to me.
I've watched about 75% of this year's playoff games. I don't think one runner on any other team got caught in the pickle. Here we are now. Like, every game, we're getting caught in the rundown on some stupid base running error. It's like, we're just giving the game away, and it's going to catch up to them.
It already has. It did today. There should have been more when Trevino drove in that run, and then he gets caught up. And I said Volpe almost ended up in that position, and then, you know, he runs through the tag, and Ramirez has a snow cone and drops the ball. And we're, Jazz. Rizzo, any of them. You saw Glaber do it all year. Any of them can get caught in no man's land, caught sleeping, and get thrown out on the base paths. It's nonsense. These are the New York Yankees. They're professionals. There's nothing Aaron Boone can do about it. They got to be better. They got to be more heads up. They got to be more focused and locked in. Maybe a loss in the 10th inning will be what it takes to make them say, hey, focus. Everybody's got to be dialed in. We're two wins away from going to the World Series, ending the drought. Now is not the time to be giving up outs. Jake is out on Long Island. Jake, you're on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith? Big fan.
Thanks, man. It's going.
Good. So I just have to talk to you about the Yankees. So obviously I've been listening for a while now. So a lot of troubles today. I'd say just couldn't get the job done. Judge delivered. Which was much needed as a Yankees fan, obviously.
Stanton delivered in the four spot, yep.
Yep, and Stanton has been doing great this postseason, I do have to say. So coming from right now where we are, you know, up in the series, how confident should we be as a Yankee fan?
You should still be confident because, like, what you saw tonight is a good sign because the first two games in our building, the Guardians gave to us, and there wasn't really that many moments that made you feel like we felt tonight with Judge and Stanton back-to-back against Class A. Like, that's them showing up in, you know, with their backs against the wall in a clutch moment with, like that's them waking up and actually fighting. So they're awake. Judge is awake. Stanton's been. But, like, now I think they've got something in them to realize, like, we're in a boxing match. That's what that was tonight. You watched a boxing match, and you just happened to be in the ring with a fighter that was willing to die in that ring. And they won the fight. Thanks for the call, Jake. You give that to them, yo. That's it. You know, ding, ding, ding. They went an extra round, and the Yankees got knocked out by a team that was willing to die out there on the field because that's their ballpark. They gave away the first two games, and they didn't want to go quietly into the night. They did not want to get swept. It would have been, if they lost that game, with the heroics of Judge and Stanton, it would have been a talk of baseball. And then everybody would have been writing them off for tonight's game as, oh, they're cooked. They're done. No way the Yankees don't eliminate them. No way the Yankees don't sweep them. Now we've got a series. Isn't baseball fun? Isn't this riveting? Isn't this better than watching Netflix? Isn't this a movie script being written right in front of your eyes? I don't mind it at all. I thought that was a great game. I enjoyed that game. I felt things in that game. You feel every emotion from mad as hell, they're running in the outs, to, hey, challenge that play at first, challenge that tag, to, oh, come on, Blue, this umpire is terrible, where's that call, where's that strike, that ball is down, to, oh, here we go, well, Ian Hamilton gets hurt fielding his position, we got to go to Tim Mazza, oh, Tim Mazza's going to walk, guys, what are we doing, we're losing this game. Like this game has loss written all over it. Here we are. We're the New York Yankees. To wait up. They've seen Weaver. They've seen Holmes too many times, and those guys can get got the same way Emmanuel Clase got. Mac in Brooklyn on the Fan in New York.
Keith, what's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm good, man. Talking through it.
All right. So I'll just keep it short real quick. I know managing is a bunch of, like, mind games against your opponent, but, like, if you were a manager, would it be a possibility you walk Noel, considering you had space open?
I took a call earlier from a guy, I can't remember his name, Demetrius maybe, and he was out at Progressive Field. He was out in Cleveland in the ballpark. And he said the same thing about, like, you know, fans around, like, why didn't they walk Noel? And when I go back to the moment, I just think that it's Luke Weaver versus Yokenzie Noel, the big Christmas. And I don't think he's like that. They're not looking at him as David Ortiz pinch hitting. Like, they're not looking at him as like, okay, here comes Rafael Devers. Like, they're looking at him as like, yo, Weaver can challenge this guy and get this out. It was the last out. So yes, there was a base open. And coming up after Noel, I forget who was coming up after Noel. Let me go back to the box score. Jimenez, I don't think that they feared him in that moment to have their closer throw up the four and give that to him. I don't think that they were afraid of him, and I wasn't afraid of him in that moment either. I didn't know he was like that.
I definitely was. I know the guy's seen, what, two changeups his whole postseason, and he sent them
He's cold,
them
though. He's coming off the bench cold in that moment. That's a lot of pressure. Weaver had came in the eighth to relieve Tommy Canley. And I don't know, he just got the double play. I don't know, I just, in that moment, he could have been walked. What I told Demetrius is, hindsight is 2020. Thanks for the call, Mac. Hindsight is 2020. Aaron Boone has made a lot of moves, and good moves. Like today, Stanton being behind Judge, and they go back-to-back to literally, like, make you feel like we're about to win this game and be a game away from the World Series. I can't look at Boone and say, how do you not walk the big Christmas? He's not Big Poppy. Like, I don't think they were looking at him like, yo, this, even like, maybe Jose Ramirez gets that respect, but I don't think that guy gets that respect against Luke Weaver, who folks on MLB Network, like Plesac, have been calling the best reliever in baseball. The best reliever in baseball, right, that's Emmanuel Clase. He gives up three hits, two homers to Judge and Stan. I don't think at the time they were expecting Luke Weaver to not be able to retire Yokenzie Noel. Dimitri in Rockaway Beach on the fan. You got it.
How are you, Keith? I appreciate you taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to speak Mets with you. I was at the game tonight. You know, it's obviously frustrating. Like, all the fans, they were frustrated. But, you know, I believe in momentum. It's playoff baseball. I think Mets fans just got to stay positive. Like, I'm listening to everyone on the call here. Like, there was some guy before talking about how Mendoza messing up, and like, it's just, I think that if a team's gonna come back 3-1, it is the Mets. Like, we've been doing it all postseason, and like, I get it. I'm not trying to be out here and be like, oh, we're in a great spot. We're not. But we have Peterson on the mound tomorrow, a lefty pitcher, against that Dodgers lineup. We got Manaea game six, and you know, like, tonight we had 10 hits. Like, I think obviously, like, our pitching didn't go that way, but I think if we get good pitching out of our starting pitchers, I think it's going to go different. I just wanted to ask your opinion. Like, I know you've been saying all show, like, you don't know if it's possible, but do you think, like, with starting pitcher-wise coming up and the Mets bats are moving, we're just not getting the runs in, do you think it's possible that we do push a game seven?
You got to force a game six first. Thanks for the call, Dimitri. It's David Peterson's first start, but he's been really good at times this season. And they're going to need him to be his best now. Maybe he rises to the occasion. I specifically remember him saying in the middle of the season, like in June or July, no one wants to let this team down. No one wants to be the guy that lets this team down. He's not trying to be that guy. Jack Flaherty gave it up against the Padres. The lineup has to wake up. You force a game six, you force a game seven. With Manaea on the mound in game six, you're like, that becomes a reality. You have quit on this team 20 different times this year. You've given up on this team every other time this year. Why not believe now? John is in Brooklyn on the fan. Hello, John.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm Positive Johnny.
Positive Johnny.
Like Positive Tommy.
Yeah, I'm banging the drum of positivity for you, John. You got to believe. You got to lead us.
I was there in 73.
Count it. That Tommy Tommy wasn't there.
That's right. I was there at the Pete Rose game, the Butthouse and Fight game.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, I'm positive, very positive, because I've seen the Mets come back before.
Yeah, and that's how you got to go to sleep tonight. And the fact that you have a game on October 18th, and most years you don't, why go to sleep saying, oh, it's over? No, you got to believe. Thanks for the call, John. Ahmed is in the Bronx on the Fan in New York. What's up, Ahmed?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm an Uber driver, always listening to you on the road, me and the customers.
Cool.
I want to get to a point with the Yankees. I haven't seen them this whole entire postseason click on hitting, running mistakes. When they are, you know, every game you think they're going to wake up, there's no two out hits, no nothing. Like, you know, there's not that it in them. There's no life in them. It's either those given runs we get on wild pitches or this swing home run that we just had. But there's no clutch hitting when it comes with two men on running, you know, on scoring position. We've been lacking that. When are they going to wake up? Because if, you know, we had one day bad bullpen, we need to cover them up with some great hitting. We need to give our pitchers.
It has to be today with Luis Hill. They got to give that young man some confidence. They got to get on Gavin Williams in the first inning, second inning. Thanks for the call. That's all we got, man. 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Jim, you'll be the first caller. Maybe not. I can't say what C-Mac's going to do with his show, but I wasn't able to get to you. I thought I had a minute there, but it's okay. Chris McMonagle is coming up next to talk all about the losses that we suffered yesterday in Ohio with the Yankees, in Queens with the Mets. And you know what? Neither one of those losses eliminated either team. And both will be back on the field today. So stay positive, Tommy. Bang the drum of positivity. Don't pick up any brooms, and you just got to believe. That's all I've got. I won't be back till Monday. I'll see y'all at Billy's tomorrow. Thanks for listening. C-Mac's coming up next. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.